Okay. So, the last thing we had seen was, very quickly, was the Machloket, Rashi, and the Rambam, as to why someone who takes money from a non-Jew in public is Pasul Eidut. Right, so you remember what the Machloket was? Rashi says, why are they Pasul? Because it's Chil Hashem, and therefore it was Usur to take the money. The Rambam, though, says what? Correct, right? The Rambam seems to think that it's not Usur. He just thinks that it's a, right, it's a disgraceful thing to do, and it's like eating outside in public, but not necessarily Usur. It just shows that you lack a certain level of dignity, and we can't trust you. Now that obviously, it's first of all, it's surprising, but it's going to be important because according to the Rambam, therefore, it sounds like he doesn't think it's Usur per se to take the money, right? Which is important, right? So the way he understands that, right, is that it's not necessarily Usur to take the money. Now that works somewhat with the Gemara with the Rambam in Hilchot Rotzeach. So the Rambam in Hilchot Rotzeach, how does he understand the Gemara on Daf Dalet, the story of Nebuchadnezzar? Remember, on Rambams, I don't put it on the sheet for you. You gotta look them up because I know you all have full what? Very good, right? The Rambam says that the reason it was Usur was not because it was Usur to take money from Nebuchadnezzar. What was the problem? You're not allowed to give good advice to non-Jews, period. Asur latzi etza tova legoi o le'eved rasha. Even if we just started at him, don't worry. Even if it's advice to do a mitzvah, you can't give him advice if he's a rasha. So the Rambam says it was usur him to give good advice, but in that he also swallows a few different things. And first of all, he thinks that the problem there was not staka per se, it was giving good advice. Two is he thinks that it's good advice, which implies that there is some positive value for Nebuchadnezzar giving the staka. And the third point is the Rambam qualifies it, that it seems like that limitation is only for a goy ha'omed birisho. It's not a generic thing to all non-Jews, it seems to be evil non-Jews, however we want to define that. Right, so all those limitations might help us explain some of the evidence, but in general, right, the Rambam and Daf Chavav and Sanhedrin doesn't think it's usur to take money from non-Jews, he just thinks that it's a degrading thing to do. Commenting in the Gemara and Daf Dalet, the Rambam doesn't think it's usur for Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah, it's that it's usur giving good advice, and telling him to give tzedakah is good advice, which means the Rambam consistently has a tendency to downplay any localized prohibition to accept staka from non-Jews. He thinks that there are ancillary problems in both of those sugyot, and even there he only thinks it's with a rasha, which of course will explain why maybe on Daf Chet we did accept it. Right? Because he doesn't necessarily think it's usur. Okay. Yes, Yonatan. What? Okay. So what I want to do now is the following. I gave you a paragraph, a section from Avot Tzedakah, which is one of these compilation works that I came across, where they bring five summaries of the Achronim as to how they piece together all the information. And what I want to do, Esther, you know, we've spent a long time, each Shita, what is its assumption here, what its assumption on this Gemara, but with these five summaries, I want to bring it together, and I want you to think about the meta questions now, right? After all the localized questions we've been asking, the meta questions, what emerges? And remember, we said that in the end of the day, there's many questions going on here. There's the question of, do non-Jews have a mitzvah? Do they not have a mitzvah? What type of tzedakah are we talking about? Because in play is Pidyon Shvuyim, Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaKnesset, with their name on it, without their name on it, stuck out of poor people, stuck out of Jews, stuck out of non-Jews. What type of non-Jew are we talking about? A regular non-Jew, a ger toshav, a rasha, an ovid avodah zarah, right? And from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that you should take it only in private but not in public, which may or may not be an Isser, but there's a distinction in private and public. And the Gemara is saying, but even if it's in public, if the person's starving to death, he's allowed to take it, which brings to the next axis, which is need versus purity of giving, motive, whatever you want to say, where those are in tension, right? And all of these factors somehow have to come together to present a coherent thesis. And like I said, what we've done until now is we've seen Rashi, who adds yet another factor, which is honesty, right? Where it might be problematic to give it to non-Jews, but if that's what they say, you don't have a choice. But if they just say, donate it to Staka, then you're allowed to give it to a non-Jew, which they still get schar, but it's lesser schar, right? So there's this complexity of, do we want to avoid giving them any schar or avoid giving them maximal schar? And is it always us or only us or if you have an alternative, right? Meaning we went through each of these shittot and we saw how many factors there are. Now, again, I was mean enough giving you this mikkara. I could have been mean and made you read the acharonim, but at this point, I think that we have fleshed out so many of the conceptual possibilities, and we can look at how these acharonim pull it together, and we can say, okay, what are all the assumptions that they take? In the end of the day, what are the principles that they think drive this category? And as I've said over and over, I want you, particularly in this sugya, to think, not just in the local conceptual lumdish terms, right, but to realize that a lot of major questions that people continue to ask Ad Hayom about how much in charity do we have to first and foremost care about the poor people? And how much do we also have a right or responsibility to care about, you know, purity of whatever, purity of motives? Right? Meaning, think about public discourse right now. How many institutions are being lambasted because they took money from, take your pick, right? Take your pick from whatever. The names, there are so many names in my head right now. Let me think, what was a good one in the news not so long ago? The Sacklers, right? The Sackler case, right? How many museums said they would stop taking new money from the Sacklers after all the lawsuits came out against the Sacklers for their part in the opioid crisis? Am I bringing up news that you don't know? Oh, so why am I bringing this up? This was all in the news. Was that the Sacklers? What? Sacklers are a very wealthy family who made a lot of their money, who are in pharmaceuticals, but made a lot of their money off oxytocin, right? And therefore are currently being sued. Again, most things haven't been settled yet, but this is right just the dialogue. I'm not weighing in because things are still being settled in the courts, but they're being sued for willingly hiding the dangers of the opioids that they were pushing and leading the opioid crisis. But they're very, very big philanthropists to the arts and to hospitals. And, you know, as these lawsuits were coming out, there were a lot of hospitals and museums who said, we're not going to stop taking money from here on in from the Sacklers, right? The argument being that, look, their responsibility is terrible things. We don't want to give them the kavod. But you have to realize, mitzad sheni, that, again, without weighing in on whether they're guilty or not, right? This is, you know, correct, meaning, you know, we could argue maybe the arts. Okay, so the arts, if they don't have less money in the arts, it's not the end of the world. But they also donated many wings in the hospitals, right? And if you want to say, okay, you want purity of motives, that's fine. But now, if there's a shortage of hospital beds, and, you know, let's just spell it out. If there's a shortage of hospital beds in America right now, as America hits 100,000 cases a day of COVID, right, and you say, look, there are X number of hospital wings in America that are donated by people who are problematic, and the hospitals no longer want to take money, so you're saying, okay, I'm willing to say that I will risk the lives of all the people who won't get hospital beds because we won't be able to afford a new wing, because we want to make a statement about the purity of motives or the purity of character of the people donating money. Now, that may be legitimate, but it's a cost, a real human cost that you need to take into account. And that's one of the things that the Gemara is doing, right? Where the Gemara is saying, look, I understand you don't want to do it. You don't want to put their name on the, right, on the building, Farhesia. But if there are people starving, it's very nice for the head of the hospital to say, look, so we won't get a new wing, but I still get my comfy $500,000 salary as the director of the hospital, whatever I get paid, right? But if you ask the question to the head of the hospital, where he has to care about PR, or you ask it to the patient who's not going to have a bed in the hospital, you might get different answers about whether how much we care about purity of motives. Right, so these are real questions that people are asking. And again, I brought that case simply because it was in the news, and I assumed you read. Period. End of sentence. I assumed you read. Okay, fine. Whatever. That was one of the big names that was being thrown. That was thrown around because they were the ones who were involved. Again, I don't know how these court cases will shape out. I don't know enough about the details. I know that this was the name and the machloket that was there. Okay, you know, I could have. You know, that was recently. Okay. What? I mean, they did.
Oh, really? Like,
well, one of the lawsuits against them was that they, when they realized how bad the opioids were, they floated the idea of switching from opioids to for-profit rehabilitation clinics. Right. So that was one of the critiques against the family. So, you know, that was part of the lawsuit was that. Again, I have no, like, insight, you know, this is only public information, and, like, the lawsuits, for the most part, have not been settled. These are ongoing investigations. Now someone's going to email me and say, how dare you, I'm not making any stances, I have no idea. It's a name that was in the news, okay, this happens. Fine. So, here are five attempts by the Achronim to bring them together, and I want you to try to pin down, once we have all of these, what conceptual points emerge. So here I gave you, let's read this summary, okay? I'm going to read this summary. It's not, I gave you a summary of the Achronim. I don't think you have to see all of them inside, but I want to talk each position out. So, mutar lekabel tzedaka migoy bitzina. You're allowed to accept tzedaka from a non-Jew in private. So the Achronim asked, how could it be mutter? Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin implies it's mutter because it says you can do it in private and not public. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin implies it's only a problem in public. Some sort of optics problem, Rashi. Or according to the Rambam, maybe it's not even Usher. But the Gemara in Bava Batra makes it sound like it's problematic. And again, the Gemara in Erechin seems just not problematic. You're allowed to take money for the Beit HaMikdash, but not if they put their name on it. So the Achronim said, how do I bring it all together? Right? That's the Gemara in Bava Batra. Let the Rishayim die and wither, rather than let them have schar. Go away, cat. Thank you. So, answer one, this is the drisha. Hadrisha tirates shirak ligabae staka yesh et ha'isur. Shall we have yesh ketzirati shavarna? Aval adam prati sheish lo hana ishit bekabalat staka migoy ein bekach isur. The drisha, this is one of the earliest answers, writing 500 years ago, in his commentary on the Torah says, here's the difference. A gabay staka cannot take money from a non-Jew. A poor person can. So now let's go through the Gemara and let's figure out how he resolves it. The Gemara on Daf Dalid. Why does the Gemara criticize Daniel or Bava Ben Buta for being involved? Because they're not taking it for themselves, right? For them, these are people acting at that higher level, right? They are... they run the philanthropic organizations, right? They're not, they don't need it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin that says in public it's a problem, in private not. The Gemara says, That's if the poor people don't need it. If the poor people need to take it. So how does Drisha read that? In public, the institution shouldn't be taking it, but a poor person, he needs it, he's allowed to take it. Then, what's the problem with Rava? Why is it brought up with Rava that it's ideal to give it to the non-Jews and not Jews? Because it's clear that Rava is functioning in the capacity as Gabay Tzedaka. He's giving it out. That's the whole point. And maybe the Gemara in the Chet, where he gives it to Pidyon Shvuyim, either there was an actual Shvuyim there, so it's like you're giving it to the poor person, or you say that, like Rashi, that he shouldn't have taken it, but there was no choice in this case because she made her intentions too clear. What is the conceptual approach? That's how he explains all the Gemaras. But what's the underlying approach for the Drisha? And I think it's a fascinating compromise. What does he think? So part of it is the necessity at the moment, right? And but I think there's more to it, yeah. Exactly, right? I think that he's a combination of what Yehonatan and Ezra are saying. Is he's saying, look, there's two factors here. The Gabay Tzedaka is different for two reasons. One is that it's a step removed, meaning there's a step between the donor, the philanthropist, and the need. And therefore, the optics problem, the bad advice problem, the giving schar problem is much more pointed when the need is two steps away. And even more sharply, I think what Ezra's saying, is that the Drisha is saying, look, in the end of the day, in a battle between two meta values, which is making sure poor people get what they need on the one hand, and making sure that as a community, we don't allow tzedakah to be a tool by which we convey the wrong messages, he says it depends who you are. If you're the institution, so then, right, people look and they say, again, think about what's happening. And I want you, your intuition. Let's take someone we can all agree is evil and you wouldn't want to take money from in Stucca, okay? What? Fine, Madoff, great, good name. I am sure that in addition to all the money that Madoff gave to whatever, right? YU, whatever, right? He probably also had people who, I don't know, probably once in his life a poor person came to him and, you know, and took a loan or got money. Intuitively, how many people are more likely to criticize the institution that took money and named a wing after Bernie Madoff? And how many people are willing to criticize the person who didn't have food on his plate, was knocking on doors and happened to knock on Bernie Madoff's penthouse and he gave him, you know, $50? Right? How many people criticize the poor person? How many people criticize whatever? Well, I want your intuition before. How many people, right? I think we can all basically agree that most people would say the poor person, whatever, right? You needed money, you knocked on every door, whoever gave you, gave you. Fine. Poor person versus Tomchei Shabbos. Okay? In the end of the day, people will still say, look, a poor person knocks on every door, right? He knows that there are rich people on the Upper West Side. He goes and knocks on every door. He doesn't do the research. He doesn't ask who these people are. He needs money to put food on his table. No one thinks that, in the end of the day, everyone understands that his primary concern in life is his need. No one thinks that he has to do his due diligence and figure out, is this the right person to take money from? Because, for him, the need is clear, right? The image problem is lower because he doesn't represent anybody but himself. And the need is higher because it's direct. So the Drisha says, put it all together and here's how it goes. All those Gemaras that imply that there's a concern about being in public and who you distribute it to because of optics, because of perception, that makes sense if you are Tomchei Shabbos, because yes, your money's going to the poor. But you are a communal person, you're a communal institution. So there, you need to take these other things into account. The poor person himself need wins. That's the Drisha's cheshbon of how he ties together the whole sugya. Yeah.
Except in the private, it's probably just like,
Yeah, right? Meaning for him, private is just better, right? It's not that it's not a problem, right? Meaning the Gemara in Sanhedrin makes it sound like it's no problem in private. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Or he wasn't really... He wasn't exactly great. No, the Rambam was great. That Sultan was not exactly the world's greatest person. He's pretty infamous as things go. He has a name.
Which one was he?
He was Saladin.
Who?
Saladin. He was one of the great conquerors.
Yeah. Who's the one that fought against Richard the Lion?
Yeah, that one.
What was he like that?
This is not like
I didn't say he was bad to the Jews per se. He wasn't exactly a great.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he necessarily
crushed them. Okay. Look, the Rambam also wasn't exactly thrilled with the situation. You know, he didn't have much of a choice. You know. Okay, that's one answer. Taz. The Taz, remember the Taz? Rav David Halevi Segal, remember? 17th century, commentary on Shulchan Aruch. Katav, Shirak Asher Anochri Noten Lani Yisrael Bilvad Asur Lekabel Mimenu. Avakshir Kasher Noten Gam Lani Nechrim Gam Lani Yisrael Ein Yisrael Lekabel Mimenu. He says it depends. Is the guy only giving to Jews? Or is he giving to everyone? If he's giving to everyone, you're allowed to take. The problem is only when he directed directly at Jews. What is his conceptualization of the sugya? Yeah. Very good, right? He thinks that the fundamental problem here is optics. He says, look, if a non-Jew donates to, Bonagid, a local soup kitchen, okay? And the soup kitchen, whatever, it provides for everyone. It has vegetarian meals, it has kosher meals, it has gluten-free meals, it has peanut-free meals, it has sesame-free meals, it has whatever. So there he would say, look, a Jew can walk in and take food. But if he gives money to Tomchei Shabbos, that's a problem. Why? Let's just say, why? Why does the Taz think this?
Well, because it's not directed to Jews.
And therefore, that is what he says. Why? What? What? Exactly, right, is that for him it seems to be that the problem is to say that Jews are relying on a non-Jew, right, and as some of the Achronim have it, that's a busha to Jews, because we can't take care of our own, right, or it's a problem that we're, you know, it's we're shafel, we're dependent, right, which is, right, it's either calling into question our generosity, or it's calling into question our social standing, right, that we're so desperate. So there, he says, look, there's a difference between where he funds an organization, he funds the soup kitchen, he funds, I don't know, whatever, he funds the local, yeah, or he funds the local volunteer, what is it, in Teaneck, TVAC, right? He funds Teaneck people. Teaneck people. Rami. Aren't you Teaneck?
Yeah.
So let's say, right, in many places in New York and New Jersey area, the Jews have Hatzalah. But in Teaneck, right, the Jews have decided to not have Hatzalah. They mostly, right, they participate in TVAC, right, which is the local volunteer. Did I get that right? I'm pretty sure I know my Teaneck. What? Because they have a history of working really well with the volunteer EMT there, and there's no reason to, right? So if you... But if you fund Hatzalah, right? But there's a difference at the end of the day between a, right, a non-Jew or Jew, whatever, who funds TVAC, and Jews and non-Jews both benefit, and a Hatzalah thing being named for, you know, we keep doing Christian names. We need another name, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Okay? Okay, Adam. I always have to intercede on Adam's behalf because he's more polite than other people. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Tomchei Shabbos is like a...
No,
and mostly North American organization that provides food for poor people for Shabbos. These are just, you know, I don't know what organizations people know. Wherever I've grown up, there has been a Tumchei Shabbos. What? Yeah, I don't know. Like, in Toronto, they were super popular, right? Like, Toronto, like, it's a very, very active organization. In different places, it's different things. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You could take your pick. In Israel, the big one is Leket, which is, for utilitarians, or anyone who has any utilitarian leanings, Leket is a much more effective organization than Tumchei Shabbos. Tumchei Shabbos is great, but Leket is much more cost-effective, because Tumchei Shabbos, this is why, by the way, I give a lot of money to Leket in general. Tumchei Shabbos raises money to buy food. Leket raises money to get, just to provide enough manpower to collect the leftover food from caterers and restaurants and donate it. So for like $1, they can feed like 10 people, because they, right, they're utilizing resources that already exist that were otherwise going to waste. Correct. They do a lot, right? It's a very clever model. So, you know, so I happen to be a big fan of Leket. I also am a fan around Leket around Purim, because, you know, those stucca cards that you send out, right? So, you know, like some people around Purim, if they don't want to send Mishloach Mana to everyone, will send a card that said money has been donated for you. So, lesson in life. People near Purim need it to be easy. So certain organizations, I can't stand using their website. I like the organization, but they make you fill out like a maximum of 5 at a time, and then you have to like go on the website 100 million times to give to everyone. Leket has this thing. They've mastered the website. You upload a Excel document, and it automatically integrates it and sends it to your whole list at once. So I just save my list from year to year, you know, tweak it a little bit. Right, because like I would send out to like all the people, like all the people in many of my shiurim in Toronto, like just, you know, to say I'm thinking about you. I can't send to 200 people individualized ones. I have a list of the people that I would like to, you know, acknowledge. Lesson in life: convenience, well organized websites, very good for you. Yeah.
So in his view, was the intention matter, or was like by the stupid
I assume it's more intention, right? Meaning, if he gave to a soup kitchen and it happens to be
in the Jewish community where only Jews use it.
Correct. I think, I don't know, but I would say
it's the other way, that like it's still a problem because like it's still only Jews.
I don't know. We'd have to really get into. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Number 3, Harishon Litzion Chidesh Shirak Bitzdakash Notnim. So here Yehonatan gets another check of which shita he was machaving to. The Rishon Litzion says, you misread the whole sugya. You think that anyone ever thought there was a problem of taking money from non-Jews? Ma pitom. The problem, rak bitztakash notnim ha-melech o asarim. This isn't a regular non-Jew. It was particularly politicians. Shezen nechshav kiinu notelet kol ha-uma yesh ad yisur. Why? Because a random non-Jew wants to donate money, fine. It's where it has that official stamp. It's a public thing. He represents, right? He is Richard the Lionheart. He represents, you know, a Christian nation. So there, the optics are bad. There, it's saying, right? There you have all the political problems, where it's an Ovid Avodah Zarah is supporting us, and it's, we can't take of ourselves, we're under the, right? We have to depend on the handouts of the government, right? That's a problem. An individual non-Jew happens to have a good relationship, right? I don't know, you know, Professor Sinclair gives a donation to Rambam because he's, you know, because they helped inspire him to believe in monotheism and Judaism and become a Noahide. So, okay, you know, that's muvan meilav, you know. Bidyuk, right? So now, according to him, that's why in all the Gemaras where they mentioned problems, right, what is the common denominator? Guys, right, now again, the reason he thinks this is that, as we said, the 3 Gemaras in Bava Batra, all of them are political figures, right? 2 are the Queen Mother, 1 is Nebuchadnezzar. Now, of course, you still have to explain why in Davchet they did accept the money from Shurma, from Ifra Hormuz, right? But his point is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's a problem in public, but not in private. The Gemaras that raise the possibility that it's problematic are talking about Nebuchadnezzar, or talking about Herod, or talking about Ifra Hormiz. They're talking about politicians who represent something. Now, again, on the balance of optics, purity of intention, and need, we understand that why when it's officially sanctioned money, is it worse? Because then the optics is particularly problematic. Now, you could have actually said the opposite, right? Right? You could have said the opposite, right? You could have said, for example, that, you know, I could hear someone saying it's a problem to take money from a private non-Jew, but it's okay to take welfare from the state, right? Because, right, you could hear someone saying that. Correct, right? You could have seen the exact opposite. Now, it may also depend on... Right, meaning it may also depend, are we talking about, yeah, a king who's giving you his personal charitable donation versus a government who's not giving you charity, right? There's a division of taxes and it's impersonal to begin with, right? So my guess is this is not quite the same as what they're talking about. Okay, Ezra, then Yonatan, yeah. Because in the end of the, right, in the end of the day, there are still optic problems in private, or it's, you know, or it's just, I mean, it's not the same. It's not as bad, right? I assume the assumption is that some people know about it. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be big and showy, but that doesn't mean it's totally private. That doesn't mean it's, right, sin of farhesia doesn't mean secret versus not secret. It means public versus private. Right, and those are in the end of the day distinct.
Also, it's would be a public donation for a non-Jew, but
so again, that was what the Gemara in Sanhedrin said, that at the end of the day, if the poor person really needs it, he's allowed to take it even if it was bifarhesia. If he really needs it. It might be better not to, but if he really needs to, depends. If he really, if you know, he's really starving, then no, because he had no choice, right? If he had a choice, then maybe, yeah. Case one or two, the Pidyon Shvuyim case, or the one where they gave it out to non-Jews. Daf Cheder, Daf Yud Aleph. It's possible. Okay. It's also possible that it's not really tzedakah, right? It could be that the solution there is that Pidyon Shvuyim is different because Pikuach Nefesh is involved there, right? Yeah. Right. Remember, we always said that you always have to balance need, and it could be Pikuach Nefesh just explains away Davchet, right? Because it's Pidyon Shvuyim and they're not regular tzedakah. Okay. Dalit. Maser okech ele, sharak shenachri notin tzedakah lirabim yeshar yisur. The Maser okech says it depends. Is he giving to the community or is he giving to the individual Jew? He says, he's focused on the schut problem. He thinks that the reason we don't want to take from the non-Jews is not the optics, it's because we don't want to give them schuyot. But remember, from Daf Yud Aleph, what do we already see? That we're okay with them getting some schut, we just don't want to give them maximal schut. So, he doesn't distinguish, but again, you could always mix and match these answers. But he says, you don't want a non-Jew to be able to support the community, because that is a big schut. But an individual, it's a good thing, but it's not so big. Now, he's focused on the schut. Theoretically, you could have said the same thing in terms of optics, right? You could have said, look, it's bad if this wasn't named the Safra Shul, but it was named the... Sure, right, or whatever, Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or my, you know, whatever, right? It would be a little bit weird, but an individual, you know, okay. So Warren Buffett gives him money because they're friends. We know that's true, right? We know one of his closest friends is a rabbi. We know that. That's not a secret. You knew that, right? It's a fun story. You know this. Oh yeah. Okay, how many of you guys are really, really into analytic philosophy?
Yes.
Okay, so how many of you have read Saul Kripke? Saul Kripke is a leading analytical philosopher. He was at Princeton until his father funded the CUNY graduate program in advanced philosophy, which he now runs. He's written some very important books on naming theory and different things. Very careful analytic philosopher. So his father is a conservative rabbi from Omaha, who is neighbor... What? Yeah, conservative Judaism. Like, he's a rabbi, and he's an old friend of Warren Buffett's. And they became friends, back in the day, because they were both living in Omaha, before Buffett started Berkshire Hathaway. And when Buffett started Berkshire Hathaway, so Rabbi Kripke's wife, I don't remember his first name, encouraged him to invest a little bit of money with Warren, because why not? It can't hurt, right? So, 50 years later, Rabbi Kripke is worth like $100 million because he he invested money in the first round of Berkshire Hathaway. He ended up rebuilding the JTS library with it and funded, So people know. But if Warren Buffett gives money to, Rabbi Kripke's shul, it's because they're old friends. They played chess together or whatever they did. I don't know. Right? It's good stories.
By community, does he mean like Jewish community?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He means Jewish community. Right? Okay. The fifth is the Orcha Shulchan. Cholek al anav esover. Shragma mechreich gamur. Mivater mutar li dobit sinach. Ein zehetta shalachatchila. The Orcha Shulchan says, all four of these answers read the Gemara in Sanhedrin as saying that in private it's permitted and in public it's prohibited. He says, no, you missed the point. It's always prohibited, even in private. It's just that when there's overriding necessity, it's permitted. Even in private. And then he just says, look, the less, you always try to minimize the problem. So in private is less bad than in public. But for him, you're never allowed to take from them because you can't give them schut. But we balance that against need. So really for him, it's problematic to take ever. It's just that need is the overriding value. And again, I think this is very important because one of the things that, we can't go through and prove this, but this is already a good hint at this, or at least an indication of this, is that tzedakah is one of those mitzvot where there is, by definition, both a ma'asa mitzvah, but there's also a very clear result that we care about, right? Like by lulav, we care you shake the lulav. Because you have to do it. We don't care that it's shaken. By tzedakah, you can't just say, God just cares that people give tzedakah, but it doesn't matter if it ever gets to the poor people. Right? And I think that all these answers point in the direction that the reason that we have to balance these optics and necessity, right, or the schut of the non-Jew and necessity, is because tzedakah has these two aspects, right? The maisa mitzvah component and the result that halacha also cares about. And that's why all these poskim in different ways are balancing it, right? One extreme is the Orcha Shulchan, which says it's always problematic to take from non-Jews, but if you have to, you have to. And then everyone else who says, look, it's not that it's usur, it's a problem. We'd rather take it from pure sources, but now, none of these answers say what the Rambam said, which the Rambam, first of all, thinks that it might only be a problem with a Rasha. Right? And again, you can mix and match answers. But the Rambam seems to think it's only a problem from certain types of non-Jews. Jonathan.
What's the philosophical, reasoning behind saying that, where it ends up matters? Because, that's out of your control. Only the mice, where you actually originally put it, is something you can control.
Good. So tzedakah is one of those interesting cases where the Torah seems to really care about results.
Yeah. Well, it's not a result.
100%. And yet, the Gemara, and the proof that you find in Midrash Halacha is from one very simple halacha that almost explicitly tells us that this is the case. And that is?
That you give it to a
non-Jew. No, much more bigger, much bigger case. It's a biblical mitzvah. Shichecha. That one of the mitzvot of the Matnon Aniyim is shichecha, that if I forget things in the field, I have to leave them there. Right? So certain the Midrashim point out, aha, clearly by tzedakah, the fact that you only get, what did the Midrash say? You only get the mitzvah if you forget it. Right? You can't leave it on purpose. That's not shichcha, that's something else. Shichcha is specifically something you forget, and then you have a prohibition to go back and get it. But it's clear there that that in tzedakah, by when it comes to poor people, one of our overriding concerns is result. Because the mitzvah is only if you did it by accident. Right? You're not allowed to go back and then take it. But you can't intentionally leave it.
But the result there, I mean, if nobody takes it, you still get that benefit. Or, there still is a...
Good. So, that's an interesting question. The answer seems to be probably... look, there are other halachot, right? Questions of when you're allowed to check out the poor person, right? You do, under certain circumstances, have a responsibility to try and make sure that the poor person you're giving to actually needs it. Right? You can't just say, I gave it to someone, I don't care. Maybe, if he's a lawyer, that's his problem. On Purim, we do that.
But again, that's the mindset. Like, if you give it to someone who then distributes, like, tzedakah, and they give it to somebody, and you, can't do it.
Correct. Again, tzedakah is complicated that way. There are a lot of indications that we do care where it gets to. Right? Not exclusively, but this is what I'm saying. That tzedakah, the reason you seem to have this balance is because it's this interesting mitzvah where we really do care about the result. Yeah.
I know earlier you said that, Rashi says that if a non-Jew loses something, you shouldn't return it because that shows that you're only... That because if you don't return it, to non-Jew shows that you're only doing Shabbos Aveda because...
Yeah.
So would Rashi disagree with that? Would he say that what matters is actually the fact that we're giving tzedakah?
Probably. Tzedakah might be the exception. There's a Gemara that says that. Right? The Gemara says in Tainus, in the first Perek, Uvichanuni no bazot, that specifically by tzedakah, God says, test me. Right? Normally, you're not supposed to say to God, I'll do this mitzvah on condition that you reward me. But by Meiser, at least, God says, you're allowed to test me. That you're allowed to say, I'm giving this and I expect to see reward. And the Gemara says that's legitimate by tzedakah. Right? By tzedakah, it seems to be that you're, right, that there is this focus. Right? That it's not, that you are allowed to say, because God wants the result to happen. Right? And therefore he says, test me, and that's okay. So yes, I think tzedakah would be different that way. It's a good question whether that Gemara is talking about tzedakah in general, only Meiser, it's a three-way machloket. Haposkim, you can look at the Tur and the Beis Yosef and the Bach at the beginning of Simon Reish from Zion.
Which Maser is that? Like all of them?
Like I said, I'm for the moment I'm oversimplifying it, but what I'm saying is oversimplified. It's not the whole picture. Okay, there was still one Gemara that we didn't explain, and that is the Gemara in Erchin. Where the Gemara in Erechin clearly says, you can't accept karbanot. So why is that? So the next one, but you can take money for a shul. Because it's like a karban. Why? So the Achronim suggest, v'atam, Shadavka tzedakah shimichaperet in mekablin me'anachrim. It's only tzedakah which has unique kapara powers, right? And since, at least in some of the sugya, the implication is the problem is we don't want to let them have kapara, right? So this goes back to Yonatan's question. Why don't we want more mitzvot done in the world? The answer is we do. But we don't want them to get kapara, right? That's what it is. So some of the Achronim say, you're misunderstood. It's not we don't want them to do mitzvot. Schar they can have, but at least certain types of non-Jews, we don't want to get into kapara. And again, you can mix and match and say it's only Rishayim. Right? If you combine this answer and the Rambam, it would be only Rishayim, we don't want them to have kapara. They want to do a mitzvah, that's, a different story. Yeah. Correct. Right, I think that's what you would say. It's not really, right? And the Achronim who go in this direction say, and that's why, that might be part of why we're only allowed to accept voluntary karbanot and not sin offerings. Right? Because we can't give them the kapara. Okay. So what we've seen, I think, is a lot of different directions. And what you see, and again, if you want a very fascinating discussion of this, you can, and you are good at Hebrew, Then you can listen to Shirlo's shir on it. It's an hour and a half. It's very, very good. But he goes through, besides for the lumdas, which we've been doing now for a week, as I said, what he does is really try to bring in the big questions. And he notes that lying behind these localized positions seems to be, right, very profound conversations about the balance in Staka, about need, about optics, about community values, about balancing purity of motives with necessity, about the relationship between community and individuals, right? What is the responsibility of the community in terms of each of these values, individuals? And as I mentioned to some of you in the morning, during Hachana, is that some poskim thought that this whole thing, right, once they say it's about optics and it's about people thinking that Jews can't take care of themselves and they're, right, that Jews aren't charitable enough or that Jews are, you know, miskinim and, you know, they don't have the resources and it just further lowers our social stature. So certain poskim were saying, well, if you realize that this sugya is really about these meta issues, so maybe this is only in galut. But when you have a state, and Christian Zionists are giving money because they believe in your success and they want to be part of it, it could be the opposite, right? That when you have no choice but to rely on Nebuchadnezzar, that's a degrading situation to be in. But when you have non-Jews vying to participate in your successful state because they believe in the theological vision in the case of Christian Zionists, or your political power in the case of United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Sudan now, I don't know where that came from, right? It could be that in that case, if it's about optics, it's about, is this degrading us or not? It could be that it would flip. Now, of course, you could say that maybe you only want to take from countries or, you know, that have purity of a name, right? Maybe Sudan is problematic in that regards.
Sudan is not giving Israel
any money. What? Okay. Fine. Let's... Yeah. Now, of course, guys, there are people who've said that the Christian Zionist question relies on this. Other people say it depends on the Rambam, right? Which is that, as we've seen, the Rambam seems to really care not just about taking from non-Jews, but which non-Jew is it? So for a lot of people, the question is, are Christians, right? Are Christians Ovdei Avodah Zarah or not? Right? That if they're not, according to the Rambam, it seems to be not a problem because the Rambam says, for the Rambam, it's about giving good advice and giving schar to people who aren't already keeping the mitzvah they're supposed to. So for the Rambam, the proper question in the case of Christian Zionists might be, do you view them as Ovdei Avodah Zarah or not? Which may come down to whether you think Christians are Ovdei Avodah Zarah in general, which for the Rambam the answer is yes.
You also ask,
for others it's not. It may depend on which denomination. It might depend on whether you're dealing, right? I mean, most of the people giving are not Catholics. They're evangelicals. So many of them are, right? It might depend on which denomination.
You also
right, you could go both ways, right? You could say, on the one hand, it's a kavod, the other, but people could turn around and say no. The fact that we all know that the reason that it's so important in America for politicians to score Israel points is less about Jews and more about Christian Zionists and the evangelical community, right? Maybe that's a busha. They don't really care about our numbers, right? They care about the Christian Zionists who outnumber us by, you know, by a lot, right? So you could see the argument going both ways. I'm not, again, I should, disclaimer, I'm not poskening here. What I want you to see is how this sugya has so many conceptual issues that it's balancing both conceptual issues and, you know, practical, meaning, I want you to, this sugya for me was a very good example of a sugya where if you take a step back from the lumdus, you realize that the lumdish questions that it's asking are really very important reflections on political issues. Politics in the sense of how do you balance the needs of communities with individuals and the interaction between communities, right? This is a very profound reflection on the complexities of these types of issues. Right? Now you can call it lumdus and say I don't care about the real world implications, but you have to realize that if you really do what we've done for the last 5 or 6 days already, and explore these issues about what type of person, what the right leaders, not leaders, good people, bad people, giving advice, accepting it but not soliciting, balancing need and purity of motives, communal representatives, when it's the non-Jew, when and both the Jew being the communal representative or the non-Jew being a communal representative, and recognizing that both of those are relevant factors, right? You see that all these lumdish positions are also reflections on complex political questions. And you know, if you ever get involved in fundraising, which I give you all a bracha that you never get involved in fundraising, but if you ever do, right, you'll see that these are the types of questions that people really ask, right? That people ask, can I take money from X because X, Y, and Z? Right? These are questions that people ask, right? Both within the Jewish community and without. Yeah. Say it again. Yesh ladun. Yesh ladun. It means that requires discussion. I don't know what you mean. Have halachic status. I don't know what you mean. Meaning, are there things that... There are definitely poskim who believe that a medina has a status and halacha is different for a medina than for individuals. If that's what you mean, yes.
But like, Israel, like, taking this money, like,
potentially, right? That's what I'm saying, is that there are poskim who believe that this has implications, right? Like, again, you know, a few random examples. Rav Gorin and Rav Unterman both thought that certain conversions were only kosher in Israel, where the majority culture is Jewish, and therefore the de facto assimilation is into a Jewish culture, and not outside. Rav Shol Yisraeli thought that the definition of pekuach nefesh was different in a state than not in a state, and therefore the police forces and the army could function on more lenient standards of pikuach nefesh, because when you're dealing with a state, right, what counts as pikuach nefesh is different. I mean, think about it, right? It makes sense, both fundamentally and purely numerically. Right? If I tell you that the death rate of COVID, at least in Israel, is 0.79%. So if you're an individual, you might say, well, it's 0.79%, and for people in the 18 to, you know, whatever, 35 range, it's 0.000 whatever percent. So you might say, so it's worth me going into a, you know, risking it, right? But a state might not be willing to make that, because 0.79% when you're dealing with millions of people is a certain death of many people, right? That's the difference. So many poskim say statehood, or at least being responsible for a lot of people, has to have a halachic status on pikuach nefesh. Okay. Let's just look at Shulchan Aruch, and we'll finish with that. Okay? Shulchan Aruch says, Asur l'Yisrael litol tzedakah min oved kochavim b'faresya. You can't take tzedakah from a non-Jew in public. V'im eino yachol l'chiot b'tzedakah shel Yisrael. V'in achol l'tlah min oved kochavim b'tzinare z'mutar. If you can't survive on Jewish tzedakah, and there's no way of only taking from the non-Jew in private, then you do what you gotta do. Right, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But look at the next halacha. This I find fascinating. Sar ovei kochavim sheshalach mamon liYisrael tzedakah, ein machzirin oto. If a non-Jewish government official sends money, you don't turn it back. Mishum shalom malchut. But you take it and give it to non-Jews in private. Now it's clear for me that Shulchan Aruch takes a different axis as one of the ways he explains the sugyas, and that is? No, that is in the Gemara. But he makes a very interesting turn of phrase that I think these Achronim didn't talk about, but he introduces, and that is? No, that's in the Gemara too. But how does he solve it? He says, solicitation versus an acceptance, right? He's very clear about that. If they already sent it to you, you don't turn it away because of Shlom Malchut. So for him, I think it's very clear. Why did they accept from Shvur Malka on Daf Chet and Daf Yud Aleph? From Ifra Hormuz, rather? Because she sent it, right? And if possible, you minimize the schar. If not, like on Daf Chet, because either they needed it for Pidyon Shvuyim, or as Rashi says, she said, give it to that, you don't have a choice. Why is it a problem in Sanhedrin Chavav for Shulchan Aruch? Because you solicited it, and that's a problem. Right, so for him, the problem is solicitation versus an acceptance. Now, you could explain that on the optics level. You could explain that on the shalom level. Right, which is what he does. I explain on many levels, but for here, for him, it's clear the issue is solicitation versus an acceptance. Yeah, Ezra. Good. So I think you'd have to balance and say either she didn't, right? In that case, they didn't have a shvuyim to do, or, you know, it's some combination of we try to minimize schar and recognize need, and, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you have to. Like, the other reason has to be that either she
said it or not specified. Well, that's what Rashi thinks, right? And a chanami, right? And again, like I said, I think. You know, there's so many sugyas here that, as you've seen, you need a lot of different answers to solve all the problems. Okay. The Ramah says, and some say you should do whatever the non-Jew said. And where does he get that from? From Rashi. Chen Beirish Rashi. Yes. Meaning the Pidyon Shvuyim gates as Rashi understood it. Okay, next page. The Kol Zedavka Shinozin Maot Litzdaka. But the Shulchan Aruch follows the position that this halacha is uniquely about things that are called staka. But things that are not staka, it's mutar. And therefore he says, well, dvin davar lebeit haKnesset mekablin meyam. If it's for shul, it's fine. This is the Ramah. But then he also paskins like, but he says, alo men amumar, but you're not allowed to take it from an apostate Jew. So now we get Ramah adding that which concern do we also care about? The what type of person is giving it to you. So if it's a Jew, it's an apostate, it's also a problem. Either because we don't want schar from him, or because, what? Converted out.
So does that mean that like the heritage is tied into the resolution?
Yeah, it's a real resolution. He's not an apostate, he's just a bad person.
Right, but I'm saying like,
either is Eved or Melech, yeah? So an apostate isn't allowed to give karbanot either. So that heter that says, oh, maybe it's not staka, well, an apostate isn't allowed to give karbanot because God hates him. I mean, maybe, if he worshipped a Vodazara, he could just convert out, in which case he didn't do a Misa, you know. Machloket.
Like, if you believe that Islam...
No, I understand. It's a discussion in Iran, Eritva, and Aradbaz. None of you were in my shir then 3 years ago, so you don't know that. But it was a sugya there, okay?
Do you think it's possible that...
Anamiri.
That the definition of Vodazara, meaning like polytheism, is only that because that was the only alternative, like...
Again, when I learned about Jazara, we spent weeks on these questions. They were fascinating questions. Again, one of these wonderful interactions between theology and lamdas. It was great. So much fun. The machloket about Christianity and Islam, and I think we talked about Hinduism maybe for a little bit. Okay. And the if you look here, the Shach writes that the difference is... Again, that staka is mechaper.
I don't know.
Now, he notes that if you look at the, right on the side, you'll see the Shach says that there are some achronim who say you can take it okay. Last halacha here is, skip to the bottom of the page. Yisrael shitnanev nero mineral vid aknezin mishtakeshim balam elesh and nigrate shmo you hold matzibur lishanota. Afil dvar reshut. If a Jew donates something to the shul and people still remember exactly what he gave, you can't change it. Vim lo nishtakeshim balam elesh and you hold him lishanota lidvar reshut. If people still remember what it is, you can't change it. If the person who donated was a non-Jew, so you can't change its purpose as long as people remember who gave it. If he gives like a lamp or something, that's okay, as long as he says, I gave it on behalf of a Jew. So that's fine. And again, the reason the Shach says is all of these limitations are, again, Chilul Hashem. Okay, even though I know we spent 6 days on this, there's still a lot to be said. But I hope that you just got a taste of the conceptual issues and cases in which lumdus can speak to broader issues as well. Ezra. Where he says, I'm giving it to you because the Jew told me, so then it's okay. Why? By a shul. Because then we assume he's giving for the right reasons, he's giving it for Jewish inspired values or something like that, right? That was the Gemara in Erechim. Yeah, there was a lot going on in that Gemara in Erechim, yeah. And also that, yeah, we assume he's not giving to the Beit HaMikdash would be a real problem. If he does want to give it to the Beit HaMikdash, it's Geniza, right? Because then it's Kadosh. Yes, yes, you're right. Correct, and we don't want to give it to Farbo Dezera. Okay, who wants last words on this sugya? Guys, good job. I think we've, you know, this was a complicated sugya. There were a lot of issues that came up. We did not cover everything, but, you know... The next sugya, let me just...